you have nothing to worry about. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. This is the October 30th edition of Bathrobe Spiro's Broadsides. Our call number, if you want to join the conversation, is 427-3772. In the studio is Billy, Ian, and Brad. And Robert as well. So, well, you were saying about this how many people are at your camp? So you help feed people and stuff?
Right now there's three of us that are permanent at my camp. And what we're doing, like I said, we go around, we carry around in my backpack, like, little canned goods, individual serving canned goods, you know. And if I see another homeless person out there that's hungry, I feel free to give. I mean, it was given to me, and it's mine to share with everybody that needs it.
If you were in Arcata, they might get an injunction against you, as you may. You may not know, Arcata Food and Bombs is under injunction and will be facing trial on November 7th. That's something else we're going to be talking about later in the show. And in Santa Cruz, police have gone after people, and the city council has gone after people, and the county authorities for sharing free food, although that hasn't happened since 1993. So we hope it won't happen at this time. But you work with a group, I guess the group Feed the People, which is a sort of a splinter group from Food Not Bombs, another group that's been feeding people frequently at Cathcart and Pacific, though I don't think they fed last night.
I don't believe they did either. And I'm not actually affiliated with that group. I've been running around for the last 15, 20 years myself, helping to feed anybody else that was hungry. I mean, that's just the way I am. And I have...
Born criminal, huh?
Oh, you betcha. I'm born activist, brother. Straight up. But anyway, one of the things that we as a homeless group can do to help ourselves, I mean, it's like illegal for us, it's not illegal for us to panhandle, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's illegal for us to actually give something back to the public instead of begging for money. It's illegal for us to sit there and do our stone carvings and read our poetry and play our music. They want to arrest us or hassle us for it, make us move. What in the hell's wrong with the society that's not going to allow us to try to earn our way back on our feet to do something about our homeless situation? That sucks.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you should say that, and that is another topic that I mentioned at the top of the hour. I was going to bring forward a couple of interviews from stone crafts people and jewelers and street performers about harassment in the last few days on the mall. Apparently it has intensified considerably. Maybe the merchants are looking forward to their Thanksgiving season and have convinced themselves that they would be better without the seasoning of the poorer people in the community in visible places, which is what usually happens around the Christmas season. That's when the first harassment of food serving happened in 1988. There was a protest against violence against the homeless, and activist Calamity Jane Emery announced a feeding at the town clock, and the police turned out in record numbers to arrest food servers on January 1st, actually January 3rd of 1989. So maybe this is a similar kind of process of clearing away people during the tourist season, where they figure that people want to be encouraged to buy, not to give. I mean, after all, giving is one thing, but buying builds your bank account, right?
Well, this is true. But, okay, over the last 20 years, I've seen in Santa Cruz, on these streets right here, I have watched the city planners, those hierarchy people, I've watched them try to destroy the culture of Santa Cruz, and basically what they're doing is cutting off their own noses to spite their face.
How have you seen that happening? What do you mean specifically?
By trying to run off the street folks, man, the street musicians, the artists, the jugglers, the musicians and the stone carvers and whatnot. They're trying to run us all out of town. And what they're going to do is they're going to totally ruin Santa Cruz for their own benefit. They're going to ruin their own tourism. I know tourists that have been back here year after year after year because they liked my personality, because I'm a good artist. And they come back, and I have several friends out here that are artists and musicians and whatnot. And these people come back year after year simply to absorb that wonderful culture that we create.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in a way it's kind of a cultural war. These people don't, they claim motivation is economic, and I guess to some extent that is the basis for the fear that you are taking away business from the little stores up and down the avenue and the big chains, now that the big chains are moving in. But the real motivation, part of the real motivation, may be a cultural one. They feel that you are the wrong type of person to be in this situation. They don't like the values you hold. You know, it's time to rip on your business suit and go to church and, you know, settle down, buy yourself a nice lot, get into debt, and, you know, have the bank confiscate your property, maybe. Maybe that's what it's time to do.
Whatever happened to my constitutional rights of freedom?
Ah, well, interesting you should ask that, because in this week's City on a Hill, there's an article by Christina Achuleta called An Appearance of Guilt. And there is a new state law which makes it illegal to loiter with intent to sell drugs or engage in prostitution. Now, how a police officer can tell somebody's intent of someone who is loitering is going to be an interesting question. Probably have a new telepathic division along with the psychopathic Freeman division of the police department.
Yes, Peter, brother.
I'm going to read a little bit of this article, and then I'm going to return a bit to the open-air shelter question, since we have an open-air shelter person here, too. And, of course, anytime you want to kick in something, Brad, you just let us know. The mere suspicion of illegal activity would be sufficient cause for police officers to arrest a person on the street, according to a bill signed into law by Governor Pete Wilson on October 16th. Assembly Bill 1045 states the actual engagement in criminal activity will no longer be a strict necessity for arrest. Can we say thought crime? Now an officer would only believe an individual is loitering and about to commit a drug or prostitution offense. Introduced by State Assembly Representative Richard Katz, the bill was signed into law amidst a pile of over 1,000 bills which were collected on the governor's desk this year. According to the bill, loitering with the intent to engage in prostitution or drug offenses is a crime, punishable by imprisonment of up to 6 months, a fine of up to $1,000, or both. A person is repeatedly beckoning to passing cars, striking up conversations with a passerby, or who has a drug or prostitution conviction within the past 5 years, could be arrested. The arrest would be justified by the new law, which proponents say will lead to safer streets. However,
what a joke.
Any comments on this so far?
Yeah, good joke. You know any more good ones?
Well, this is going to be quite a joke for all of us. So the joke's on you guys.
We're going to have a lot of false arrests on the record.
That would be, it's hard to prove in court, of course. However, the spokespeople from the American Civil Liberties Union expressed doubt that police officers' suspicions will always be accurate. Are police officers some kind of thought police? Asked Francisco Labaco, legislative director of ACLU California. Rather than focus on the responsibilities of police officers, proponents of the bill argue that California should concentrate on the safety of law-abiding citizens. This legislation empowers citizens through law enforcement, said State Assembly Representative Bruce McPherson. That's our representative, folks, in Santa Cruz, formerly the editor of the Santa Cruz Journal, or Signal, as it was sometimes termed. It gives citizens more control over their streets. So Bruce McPherson wants police on the streets arresting people who have bad intentions, and gives the police officer power to arrest people who she or he feels has a bad intention, that is to say, to use or sell drugs, or to engage in prostitution.
Or perhaps put a smile on someone's face.
Right. Well, smiling, can be an act of rebellion in some circumstances.
I suppose it could be misconstrued as...
I see you're smiling. You're smiling. Did you notice that?
I suppose that smiling at someone could be misconstrued as sexual harassment or something.
Smiling could be construed as any number of things. Yes.
What's the world coming to?
Despite its apparently good intentions, the bill is not without its critics. Apparently some of them are in the studio here. Even some police officers feel it may go too far. The bill raises more questions than answers, said Chief Don Bronton of the Capitola Police Department. Yeah, go Don. I understand the intent of the bill, but it isn't empowering the citizens, Bronton added. What it's doing, of course, is it's playing to the peanut gallery, the right-wing peanut gallery for the legislators. It's a politician's bill, in my opinion. That's not Bronton's opinion, that's Robert Nurse's opinion. It might improve neighborhoods, but how can we prove what someone's intentions were? The ACLU is more vehement in its criticism of the loitering bill. The bill is far too vague. This law doesn't require engagement in any criminal activity, said Labaco. It is so broad, it gives police officers too much latitude for arbitrary enforcement. Labaco asserted innocent acts could easily be misconstrued. Someone strolling down the street or casually walking along can be unfairly targeted based on the assumptions of law enforcement. The ACLU also said the bill unfairly targets people with prior convictions. It's discriminatory enforcement, Lobacco said. These arrests are based on unfounded assumptions and prejudices. Lobacco and the ACLU also assert such a law has racist overtones and would be unfairly aimed at minorities, not to mention street musicians or street performers or people selling. People that the police don't want in the streets, put them in line. Assemblyman Representative McPherson disagreed. No one is going to be unfairly targeted, said McPherson. Police officers aren't going to know about prior convictions. They're going to observe repetitive behavior and clean up the streets. Even if the intent to commit a crime is not there, law enforcement officials will perceive it as being there, said Lobacco. McPherson did not see this as a problem. The measure will be upheld if challenged in court, McPherson said. I have confidence in the court system to determine intent.
I think somebody does.
Yeah, well, Bruce has a lot of confidence. Of course, it's put him into the position he's in. Of course, he started out in a pretty good position to begin with. Despite the criticisms of the ACLU, McPherson said he completely supports the bill and its aim of benefiting citizens. The public, sorry about that, has been supportive of gaining control of the streets, McPherson said. I have not received one complaint in my office, he added. Hey, it could be time for us to go to McPherson's office.
Hey.
Everybody, Bruce McPherson, the local state representative, needs to know if you think this is a great idea, his loader on the sidewalk, go-to-jail bill. McPherson said he believes the loitering bill will be effective. There are no drawbacks, he said. All the bill will do is empower citizens to clean up their streets. It sounds sort of like a mantra that McPherson is repeating here. Chief Brownton is not so sure. There are a lot of problems with the bill. It is a valid attempt at providing police with a tool to improve neighborhoods, read, remove undesirable people. But a lot of arrests won't withstand court tests, he said. The ACLU's Lobacco said he felt it was certain it would not be effective. Law enforcement may arrest guilty individuals, but in doing so, they'll sweep in the innocent as well. Lobacco said there's no way to stop the bill now, but it will be undoubtedly challenged in court. Despite its critics, the bill will go into effect on January 1st. And from that point on, arrests for suspicious activity should be expected. Any comments on that, folks? Go ahead.
Well, I guess this means you can't smile if you're walking out of a party after having a good time.
That could be an indication of drug use, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, it seems to me that anybody that runs around smiling, they got to be on something, right? Even if it is just life.
High on life.
That's what I run around smiling energy on.
Yeah, well, that's why we have our eyes on you. We're going to make sure that this doesn't get carried too far. So, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and perhaps you want to join in this bellicose debate here, 427-3772. We're trying to be bellicose, but unfortunately, now we've got people of the same opinion here in the studio. Bruce McPherson wants to call in. Perhaps we should call McPherson's office.
Hey, that's a thought.
But, of course, the problem is the bill is already passed. What we need to do now is figure out how to fight back. And I think that perhaps what can be done is what some stone carvers on the street did when police 2 days ago told them to move along, pack up their jewelry, and go home. Or, in this case, go somewhere else. Do you remember that? Were you around when that happened?
Yeah, I was. Essentially... All I have to say to answer that is real simple, man. These people, we contribute, okay? We create art, okay? And it's like, I want to say thank you, by the way, to those citizens here in Santa Cruz and business owners that basically support us in the respect that they allow us to sell our wares outside their businesses, certain ones, and because we do spend that money back into the local economy, we spend money in these people's stores and coffee shops.
You know, it's ironic that the Santa Cruz City Council is inviting in the chains and then at the same time trying to criminalize or letting police criminalize these behaviors of very kind of low-level economic activity by people who were survival activity fundamentally on the streets like selling jewelry. It just shows that the money that goes into the chains does not go back into the community, whereas the money that the jewelers make, it goes right into the local grocery stores, it goes right into the local coffee shops. It's just sort of a strange thing. But not so strange because you got to look at who's doing the control here, who has the real political heft, who's got the final word on this stuff. But you have a word here because you can call us at 427-3772 and put a few of your words into the pot.
Well, you know, Ann, I was at the meeting of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless on Thursday. Actually, I was at that meeting after, before I spoke to you last out at the campground. Ann here, for those of you just tuned in, is a person who's been at the campground for some time, and well, for a couple months anyway. And she's concerned about its relocation, I should say, its destruction that's coming up. The city council is whistling around about the relocation, but they have got no solid leads. For a place for 200 campers to go to be resolved by April 15th is very unlikely. The only spot that I can see that's likely to happen is the one that they're on right now, and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, or to relocate the homeless, is trying to pull that rug out from right under them. Anyway, I went to that Citizens Committee Board of Directors meeting, and they began talking about the community house right after I left the room. But little did they know that I had a spy in the room who was taking it all down, making he had an elaborate good memory, and I got a full record of what was said, and I got a lot of notes here on what happened at that Citizens Committee meeting for the homeless. They are pressing right ahead with a plan to have Community House, which is a series of 10 trailers imported from Stanford, maybe 12. They actually have access to a number more trailers, I think up to 24 or something. And no one has any beef with people bringing in trailers for transitional housing or drug programs. The problem is that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is going to destroy the existing facility of that 200-person campground, the only legal place to sleep in Santa Cruz. They said they were pressing right along with that. They were seeking for CDBG, which is Community Block Development Block Grant Funds, to help them with this project. And again, my contention and my suspicion has always been that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless has been using this project as a sort of a fund magnet. It has been, you know, to some extent has some idealistic motivation. Paige Smith, the late Paige Smith, was a great proponent of housing and rights for poor people, and he was on the Citizens Committee. But on the other hand, the Citizens Committee has made it a point of, you know, claiming it's going to be building on this property every year and then kicking homeless people off it during the winter. And some of them are able to go into the winter shelter, and some of them are not.
It was actually illegal for people to be on the property for several years when they owned it,
and they had a trespass letter into the police department authorizing police to arrest people there for trespass. They had a tendency not to invite homeless people to their meetings. Their only homeless member, Roy McMinn, on the board of directors, has been seized by police on this ridiculous 15-year-old
warrant for violating a parole hold in Virginia. I've talked about this on the show before. I think Ray is due to head to be taken, eventually kidnapped by authorities and taken back to Virginia tomorrow or the next day. And more information on how to deal with that, just give me a call at 423-4833 if you're interested in writing a letter on Ray's behalf. Good man. But again, the only homeless person on the board of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and nobody was in the room, and I was the only one there who actually had a different point of view, and they didn't want to hear it. Now, I can understand that, you know, they have their own perspective, but the way they avoided even any kind of discussion of the issue at all by beginning this discussion after I left the room, I find kind of amusing, and it shows to me that the old patriarchal, closed, elitist spirit of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is not dead. That's what they used to do. Whenever homeless people would come to their meetings, they would make sure that the next meeting was canceled and moved somewhere else. So that people didn't know how to get there, or they would end up at a disconnected meeting, or a place where there was no meeting. Go ahead, say something, Ann.
That's kind of like when they were at the open air shelter. It was Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling. And
Daryl Darling is the head of Community House Project, and also he is he runs the
Tower Lodge,
and he also runs a bed and breakfast place on Westcliff Drive. And Calamity Jane Emler, an activist from out of town, actually suggested that Daryl Darling's place be the, if there's no place for people to go, that people go to the, just camp out on his property. Now, I would never
suggest such a thing. Daryl's an old pal of mine, but you never can tell what people will do.
Go ahead, Ann, I'm sorry.
Well, it's like they came out the Thursday, like I said, not this past Thursday, but I think it was the Thursday before last, they came out and said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take questions. We won't answer them right now, but we'll take questions and kind of put them into different categories and see, you know, what your opinions are, what your questions are, what your main arguments are, or main concerns are right now, and we'll try to answer them.
Committee for the homeless.
Right.
Yeah.
And
out to the field, you mean the open air show?
Right. There was a sign up put up like Tuesday or Wednesday saying they're going to be there, and that it was posted on the porta potties and in the bay and everything. And it started out the entire, for those of you familiar with the eating area, that was packed when they started out, and then they got good questions for like 20 minutes. He says, well, Paul Marcello says, well, we can group into two categories. And he answered some of the questions, but by the time he got around to answering some more of them, there were maybe 20 or 25 people left sitting there that were listening to him. And my opinion was, if you're gonna hold a meeting, the whole thing, I would rather, and I know this from a lot of people, I would rather have all the information to sift through and then possibly get asked questions later if something wasn't answered, as opposed to field a lot of questions, because that wastes a lot of time, mm-hmm. and see, because people are going to come up with questions later. Plus, the other thing about this was on a Thursday evening at 5 o'clock, 5:30, somewhere around there they got started. Then they're like, oh, by the way, well, there's a meeting downtown, you know, at City Hall tomorrow at noon if you want to go. Three of us showed up, and they were really shocked to see three of us, because there were only, let's see, one, two, three, there were like five other people there besides those of us. Karen Gillette was there, and there were like four other people there. And it was just really weird, because it's like they, like you said, they totally avoided answering questions. They'd go all the way around them.
Yeah, well, the basic answer, unfortunately, which I went to Paul Marceau after the Citizens Committee meeting on Thursday of the Board of Directors, and actually
I was able to get one homeless person to come there. Actually, I didn't even ask her to come. She came anyway. I announced the meeting the day or two before, and we didn't do a lot of distribution of literature to let people know what's happening. That is really what we need to do. But as you saw, out at the open-air shelter, there is a small clique of people who don't want any organizing to happen, who also are personally very hostile to me, and they can make it kind of hot for people who try to organize. Not that we shouldn't try to organize, and I think we should, because the issue is important enough that it affects them too. Now, maybe they feel they're on the inside team and they can survive no matter what happens, and maybe that's true, or maybe they feel their animosities toward me or other organizers is sufficiently intense that's more important than the issue of where 200 people can go, in which case I have to say they're wrong. But the Citizens Committee on Thursday had the same approach. They didn't want to hear from me. They didn't want to hear from homeless people. Their plan was to proceed with the building of community house. They're 2.5 weeks late, I believe, in their request to get permits. So they're going to maybe move the trailers on in January. But what they're going to do is, as I talked to you about earlier, and when it was mentioned on the tape, is they're going to make sure people are moving to winter shelter, which will disperse a lot of the people, and those who are moving to winter shelter will become more dependent. They no longer have a campsite. And it's no longer, it probably won't be weather contingent, because they haven't got that kind of okay from the state authorities. If they get that kind of authority, then what they'll do is they'll make it so you can't have your stuff there during the day, which will destroy, I think have a significant impact, go a long way toward destroying that community and making it dependent simply upon, oh, how can I get in the truck and how can I get in the bus, because you can't walk up to the armory. It removes a lot of independence of the campers that is there. So the real question again is, what can you do about it? And I guess the first thing you want to do about it is educate people about it. If the city council has a real opportunity, if there's a real chance they can set up alternate sites, maybe there isn't a problem. But if there is such a real chance, why is the Citizens Committee refusing to commit itself to reopening the campground if they can't find another site? The answer is that their bottom line is not the bottom line of the welfare of the majority of people at that campground. That's the problem.
Well, I'd like to interject something there. You mentioned about educating people. Well, okay, this is part of what my group, our intention is, what we're working on, okay, because one person in my group writes really, really beautiful poetry, and we read on the street for donations for change, and all that change goes for is to help, any donations goes to help feed other homeless people and, you know, to help us get by, to get the things that we need for basic survival, okay? And educating
as far as education goes, what we have in mind is to have a bunch of us homeless people band together in a strong group and create our own homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. If we have our own homeless shelter, I defy the city to shut us down.
Well, I commend you on that. Of course, what the city has done in the past is simply arrest people or ticket them and tell them to leave, and most people who are, you know, don't want to deal with the police anyway or homeless, or they have enough trouble dealing with everything else. You know that feeling.
Oh, yeah,
unless there's a centralized, unless people get together in some kind of a union and support each other, unless there's solidarity from person to person, that attempt doesn't work. But, you know, maybe it will in your case. And in fact, do you have, is there any way people can contact you if they're interested in pursuing your approach?
Well, Robert, I'll ask you this personal favor, if they could maybe call in here and you could give me messages at this point. Like, say, I am one of the homeless.
You want to contact Billy, who's working on his own shelter project, independent of the open-air shelter and independent of the armory, and independent of me, I might add, that he's not a part of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. He has his own group. Get a call to 423-4833. That's my phone number, and I'll pass on messages to him. That's 423-4833. And that's also the number you should call if you want to be on the show. If anything I'm saying is interested to you, and you think you want to put your piece into this conversation, maybe you're apprehensive about calling the on-air number, which is 427-3772, or 427-FRSC, Free Radio of Santa Cruz. Give me a call anytime at 423-4833, 423-HUF. HUF, again, is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is a group I've been working with for some years to secure rights for homeless people. We've had some success. Also, we've tread on a number of toes, and they sometimes say that the volume of the ouch, you can sometimes determine how effective you've been. Let me play a little tape here now. I guess it was actually several days ago, the 27th of October, and I titled it Artists Under Attack on the Mall. And it really goes to the heart of what Billy was talking about, which is harassment downtown. Some of the background, the downtown ordinances were passed in spring of 1994, making it illegal to sit down to give the police a blank check to remove anybody they wanted. The police had before been removing people anyway who had been sitting down, citing a rather irrelevant obstructing the sidewalk law, which they used, and on one case it was thrown out, but that didn't stop them. They keep using whatever laws they choose to harass whoever they want, and that's what they really want in this town, is a Bill of Rights for poor people that will make sure that kind of practice is stopped. But go ahead, you want to say something?
Yeah, it was came to my mind a while ago when I first came to Santa Cruz last spring, I believe it was. One of the things that drew me to here once I got here was seeing the different people, the different personalities out on the streets. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, that would draw somebody. If somebody's going to go to somebody and check them out, check out the jewelry, they're of course going to notice what business they're in front of and probably go inside and check it out. So in my opinion, it's better to have them out there, you know, because if they're going to see what kind of store they're sitting in front of, it's going to draw their attention to it.
There's a very good argument made for that. In fact, I think that's why Berkeley has had such success with its, every day it has a market on the streets. You know, in downtown Telegraph Avenue, you have tables and tables and tables all along the four blocks that range from the University of California to People's Park, and I don't think it does any harm. In fact, it does probably a lot of positive good to the people in the stores. It encourages people to come to that central area and shop.
Actually, Robert, that market in up around Berkeley, it runs all the way down to the Blue Moon Cafe.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. So that's for years.
And I think in Boulder Creek they have a similar market. You know, I mean, it's too bad. I mean, well, let's put it this way. Our job is to start educating people around these issues and start circulating petitions and start making that kind of culture a reality in downtown Santa Cruz, whether we get permission from the city or not. It's not, the permission isn't the important thing. It's the energy to do it that we need to do.
Robert, do you remember years back before the 89 quake, do you remember when the Cooper House was set up and they had the jazz band out there?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember how many street musicians were up and down there that used to draw attention to that?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, good question.
The Cooper House was a booming business, and a major contribution to that was the street artists and musicians.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, that's what we need to have. Actually, we have that repeated now. We just need to protect the rights of those who are there and to expand their rights so that we can create a true renaissance here in Santa Cruz.
Okay, the project I'm working on, because I'm going to have to be going here pretty quick, but the project we're working on, basically what we call ourselves is By the Homeless, For the Homeless.
By the Homeless, For the Homeless. But you can't buy the homeless, right?
No, buy as in,
all right,
we're doing it ourselves.
So if you want to get in touch with Billy, with his group, Buy the Homeless, For the Homeless, leave a message for me at 423-4833, and hopefully we're going to have updates from you in future shows.
Oh, you betcha. Robert, thank you for letting me have this airtime, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
I really appreciate it. It's going to, you know, maybe this can make the difference in helping. This has been a dream of mine for 20 years.
Well, hey, the mic is open.
Do something.
The mic is open.
I was born here. I want to do something for my home.
Maybe you can listen a little bit of this tape before you go and see if you have any comments.
Sure, you bet.
And so here we go. We're on the mall, October.
Bathcut in Pacific at 3:30. It's a beautiful sunny day, but someone just got arrested. Is that right, Melissa?
Yeah, talk to Steve.
Steve, what's cooking?
Well, I'm someone full of views at the moment.
Yeah.
I can hold it.
I want to keep it at your right distance
okay.
from your...
Okay, alright. Well, okay, so you see, we were sitting here and this guy kept freaking out, right?
What way was he freaking out?
Basically, I would say he was celebrating life, more or less.
And how did he show his celebration of life?
He was singing.
Hugging trees.
Right. Hugging trees,
holding on to, posts and putting his clothes on and stuff.
Basically. Celebrating life, more or less.
Naked guy, or did he have clothes on?
He had clothes on, of course.
Shocking. Yeah, layers of clothes.
Shocking, yes, yes. He was singing loudly, though. I must tell you, singing loudly.
Right.
But, I don't know, he laid on some car and they arrested him.
For laying on a car.
Mm-hmm.
And,
pretty much.
What was his name?
Compared to the eye, I don't know what codes that he may have obstructed or bothered, but,
the only thing that remains of him is a purple piece of cloth on the sidewalk.
And a backpack full of stuff.
Oh yeah, that's his backpack. And his backpack is over there.
Yeah, I believe. It would appear so.
What was he? How many cops showed up?
Oh man, like two cars, three cops, four cops, five cops, all together, but not five cops all at once. Probably about three at once. Yeah, I'm sure he was a difficult suspect to detain, wasn't he? He pretty much laid down on the cement for him.
And do we know what he was charged with? Was he 5150, or was he taken to the psych ward?
Yeah, I heard none of the codes.
Do we know his name?
Nope. Tripper.
Let's call him Tripper. Well, thank you, Steve. Anything else you want to add?
Have a good day. Smile.
So what's your story on this tripping person?
I don't know, I just thought, he was having a weird trip, I guess, this morning. And then, yeah, what was he doing?
Oh, no, I'm sure that does that sometimes. What was his name?
Sweetheart.
Was he acting in a way that threatened anyone, or
no? Not at all.
He was just being the wingnut, you know?
Yeah.
He's harmless, man.
Different.
And they put him
different.
On the ground and
he's
shit.
Different. The police do not accept him to be out here. Yeah. But what he told you, how harmless, you wouldn't hurt nobody.
And you know what? They won't let us sit back in the parking lot anymore on the curb because they say it's considered to be a planter's box and we can't sit on it.
Oh, really? And what officer told you this?
I don't know which one it was.
Officers. The ones that did it detailed to this lot. So, how long ago were you guys told this?
About
an hour ago. About 1 hour ago. So it's now illegal to sit on the...
No, it's not.
The only thing we can do inside the lot is stand. And if we're doing anything else besides staying at family, they say they could arrest us.
Yeah.
On what basis?
They wouldn't let us play music yesterday, and it wasn't even 7 o'clock.
And how did they do that?
They had a whole bunch of police come in and, just say, hey, you guys can't play music, and then they kept calling them more people because we were playing our lips.
I remember that, the lip number. Well, you know, you guys can make a complaint about this if you want to strike back.
45, Friday.
Well, you can always curse complain on the air tomorrow, 9:45, at Taco Bell, Friday or Monday, and go on Butt Baffert's Piers Broadsides. But you can also go to the mayor
and tell them that the police seem to be directing if you can't sit on planters and what's going on here, you know.
Yeah.
That's possible. If you want, I can show you how to do that if you're interested.
You have to go to the mayor?
You can go to the city council, you can go to the mayor, you can go to the Citizens Police Review Board.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know any of the cops' names.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can say that you're being harassed, or we can all just go sit down there and just sit.
Yeah.
And then they can arrest all of us.
Yeah.
If you're willing to take a bus.
Yeah.
That sounds
cool. Yeah, that sounds good. Damn
it. You should be aware that if there are other warrants for you, you may.
I don't have one.
Okay. If you don't have warrants and you're willing to take a minor bus, they'll hold you at most overnight.
Okay.
In jail, you get these pretty pajamas. It's actually not that much fun, but you know, the point in terms of principle, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, if you're interested in doing that, I will support that action. I'll go with you.
Okay. Should we get people together?
Get a bunch of people together and we can do it.
When do you want to do it?
About 5 o'clock.
Today?
Conspiracy to commit a sit crime.
But
here.
You sit, what do they govern saying that it's okay for us to sit?
So, yeah.
Only the benches. Otherwise, we're breaking the law.
No, this is legal to sit here.
I don't know.
No, it's not. Only the benches.
No, it's the benches. That's a lie. It's legal to sit here. Who told you that?
The police.
It's not true.
The city council on the sidewalk anymore.
That's not true. It is legal to sit anywhere except within 10 feet of a building. This was specifically made legal. And if the next officer that tells you that, ask his badge number and report it to me. I'll give you my phone number. That's false statement, part of an officer.
Yeah, they told us like.
Hang on a second. Who am I speaking to?
Jared.
And you said you were told. So what were you told?
They told us that we could only sit on the benches. Basically, they said that we couldn't sit anywhere else but the benches.
Do you remember the name of the officer? What the officer looked like?
Yeah, I think it was that same big dude that was over there. That same big guy.
That's really wonderful.
But tall guy? But what was his name? No, I don't know his name.
Well, why not, if you want, we can go down to the downtown host center, which is the information center, and
the cops' eyes and ears.
The eyes and ears, and talk to them. If anybody wants to come down with me, we can discuss your rights there, if you feel like it. Because you do have a right to sit on the sidewalk. That's what you're doing right now. So I'm with...
Bonnie.
So, that was an interview on October 27th of apparently a new police campaign to drive people, particular kinds of people, from the Ford's parking lot by telling them it's illegal to sit down anywhere in the parking lot. A false statement. Public property, it's legal to sit down except in certain specific places, like 10 feet from a building, on certain kinds of planters, 50 feet from an ATM, and 4 feet from a drinking fountain or telephone. Try to remember that one.
How long did it take you to memorize it?
Hey, took me a while, and it changed the law too, so it was, I had to check out the changes. But what happened was, after this conversation, I went with Bonnie down to the host center to make a complaint to the hosts that the police officers were misinforming people, and maybe since the hosts and the police are in such close contact, you frequently see a police car parked in front of the downtown informant center, or the downtown information center, as some naive people call it, next to the Del Mar Theater. That's where the green-shirted hosts hang out, those gay goblins, I don't mean homosexual, many, many grinning, walking around, being helpful to everybody, and fingering other people as the eyes and ears of the police, making it illegal for some, or telling people they can't sit here and they can't sit there, and make it illegal to ask for a dime, don't play hacky sack, so forth and so on. These hosts have close contacts with the police, and if the police are misinforming people about where it's legal to sit, it certainly would be suitable for the hosts to let them know that. So I went with Bonnie to the Downtown Information Center, the Downtown Informant Center, and got into a very nasty interchange with a host who essentially didn't know what was going on, didn't know the law, and didn't want to hear it. And when I attempted to bring this issue to the supervisor of the host's attention, she refused to say a word and wouldn't take a complaint, so we went down to the Downtown Management Corporation. But here, let's hear a little bit more of that tape. And then we're going to have a call-in from a a local homeless activist, Crossroads Chris, who is very concerned about what's happening at the open-air shelter and has done some writing on that subject.
And Bonnie, we're going into the host center because you have a concern about a particular problem?
About a what?
About some particular thing that happened
today? Yeah,
yeah. And what are you concerned about?
The police telling us we can only sit on the benches if we're going to sit down. And we can't sit on the curbside of the trees and stuff.
This was when you were in the parking lot?
Yeah.
And how many officers told you this?
Two of them.
And this was recently, in the last hour or so?
Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes. So about told a few people.
In the last 15 or 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see what's going on here. You say you saw the police picking up someone by their wrists and by their feet and then throwing them in the police car?
I don't know if they threw them in there, but they put them in there like that, hanging by his wrists and his feet.
Okay. Yeah.
Taps on
there,
locks on those.
Yeah. Lucky to be buying this van. You had some concern about something that happened a few minutes ago?
Yeah, the police told us that we can sit back in the parking lot on the curbs because there's a plant box and so we can only sit in the benches.
So,
I know it's not a lot. It's not against the law to sit on the sidewalk, too.
Did the police officers tell you you couldn't sit on the sidewalk?
They said we can only sit on the benches.
So they told you, in essence, you couldn't sit on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
So I wanted to let you know this is happening so that I presume that your awareness of the law is that is, in fact, it is legal to sit in those spots. And the police officers, if they're telling them these things, are mistaken. You're nodding? Does that indicate yes? Bonnie, you see a woman in front of you who is nodding?
Yeah.
Right.
So what is happening here at this point is Bonnie, the woman who was told by police she couldn't sit down at the parking lot, and I are standing in front of the host's headquarters trying to talk to Diane, the supervisor of the host, and she's refusing to say anything, in essence refusing to take a complaint. And in order to make that point, to describe to you what's happening, we are describing what's going on as we're standing there, but it may sound a little strange, but the strange thing is that someone hired by the city or by the Downtown Management Corporation, the group that funds the downtown hosts, allows its employees to do this. So, here's a little more of the tape.
How does she file a complaint formally on this issue? Go to the police station? So you won't take a complaint here? Will you forward this to the police that they're in fact making an error in what they're doing? Notice how she's advancing on me. It's a friendly approach. My understanding was it was part of your job to inform people downtown about the laws and the downtown ordinances. That's my understanding of what you're supposed to do here. And you're nodding, so I assume you agree with that. The police officers are part of that team, is that correct? And you have regular associations with the police, don't you? And you're nodding at that, too. Do you find this woman is being polite and responding in a normal manner here? I mean,
no, not at all.
No, she's not answering.
I'm not talking into your box.
Why not? It's a public place. So you should be not afraid of what you're saying.
Because I don't feel like talking to you.
You don't.
Mm-mm.
Well, as a member of the public and as a person who is, in fact, engaged in a job that deals with the public, I don't know if you have really a choice in this situation.
I'm not talking to you right now.
You aren't?
I was in the middle of a conversation with someone. You came up.
We'd like to
file
a complaint. What's the process for doing so?
To go to the police station.
Well, this is about ordinances that you oversee. So you refuse to file a complaint, is that correct? That seems to be what you're saying. And you're shaking your head. I assume that you will not file a claim. I'm asking to file one here, and you're declining to do that, is that correct? Okay. So I guess we can go to your bosses at the Downtown Management Corporation, too. All right. Well, thank you. And how are you today? Sorry, you're in the middle of it.
And that was
one attempt to file a complaint with Diane, the supervisor of the Green Shirts downtown. She refused to take the complaint. We then went to the Downtown Management Corporation, which is right across from the Coffee Roasting Company on the second floor, to file a complaint with the board of directors and talk to Linda, head of the downtown, I think she's also head of the Downtown Association, or certainly a member of the Downtown Association, and she, Linda Steinem, I think her name is, she said to the police department, even though it was the downtown hosts that have such close connections with the police department and are largely charged with the downtown ordinances. Actually, we tried to file a complaint about Diane's behavior, Diane, the supervisor, for refusing to take our complaint and treating us rudely. And we didn't get too much satisfaction from Linda Steinem either. But anyway, what we were talking about before, and what we're going to be talking about, is hopefully a renaissance in downtown Santa Cruz. We're talking about the open air shelter. And I'm going to ask Crossroads Chris Brasden to call back. Crossroads Chris is a writer, an activist, active also on the internet, very active in posting articles of opinion on the internet. Give us a call if you want to join this conversation at 4... I'm getting lost here. What is my number here? Does anybody remember my number?
Sorry?
Thank you. 427-3772. Yeah, slap me around a little bit. So we're waiting for Chris's incoming call. A couple of other articles which might interest you, which I picked up here. What do we got here? Oh, phone is ringing. Excellent. So...
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Contact. Do I leave the radio off?
Either way, it's up to you. You can hear us, and you can leave it on if you want, or you can leave it off, whatever.
Oh.
I am talking to Crossroads Chris.
Okay.
And Chris, in the studio, you've probably been hearing our conversation. There's the same three individuals. We got Brad, Billy, and Ann, who's keeping me aware of what phone numbers are what. So, you recently wrote an article on rather harsh criticism of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's plan to disperse homeless people.
Correct. Article 3901 at scruz.politics.
Which is, say that again for
which is an otherwise dead zone for news.